You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
There's a new trend of player empowerment among a very small subset of professional sports. The Hall of Fame-bound quarterback. Tom Brady goes to Tampa, wants to bring in some of his friends, and now everybody else wants to follow suit. First, there was Russell Wilson in Seattle. Right after the Super Bowl, when he came on the show, he was watching what Tom Brady was helping build. He was part of, you know, the architecture, and he was given that luxury. Now Aaron Rodgers, Packers quarterback, talked candidly about wanting more of a say in things that affect his job, and he did so yesterday. And in their, you know, their past, they, you know, there was a separation of these duties. And you can see where Rodgers is coming from. Hey, I'm the MVP. You want me to win. It's all about quarterbacks winning Super Bowls. Can I be involved? Can I help you? Can I recruit players? I'm just not a quarterback and that's it. Like, I want to help build this. And we'll play some of the answers that Rodgers had yesterday. He's a smart guy, and you would think that management would want to listen to him. I don't want to give Deshaun Watson all the power that he was given. No trade. Hey, he wants to have a say in who's going to be our coach. He's 24. He doesn't know. He doesn't know enough to, you know, do I want to bounce something off of him? Does he want to be involved in the interviewing process with our coaches? Like, how much is enough? How much is too much? How much is not enough? You know, Patrick Mahomes, has he earned the right? Well, because he's a great quarterback, we feel like he has. He's still only 24, 25 years of age. Aaron Rodgers is 37. You know, Brady is 43, going on 44. They've been around. Do I want to listen to them as a sounding board? Certainly as a free agent, and have them recruit those free agents. You're not getting a lot of free agents going to Green Bay. But they do well in the draft. I mean, they've done really well in the draft. But now they want to bring in Randall Cobb. All right, if Aaron Rodgers wants to bring in Randall Cobb, then this is on Aaron Rodgers. All right, make it work. You want him, you got him. And maybe just being a part of the process, I mean, that's really the important part of all of this is just, hey, am I your guy? Am I in the future here? Can I help you bring in a free agent? Imagine if you're a free agent offensive lineman, Aaron Rodgers calls you, or a free agent wide receiver, Aaron Rodgers calls you. I got to believe that might help the process here a little bit. I mean, Brady was doing this with Gronk. Gronk could have been Super Bowl MVP. Antonio Brown. And who knows what else is going on behind the scenes there. But if you get that call, I mean, that can tip the scales here. And I think that's what you heard yesterday. And what I thought was it was surgery yesterday that Aaron Rodgers performed on the Packers and this situation. He was very calm. And it was almost in a methodical way, well thought out. This is what's happened. And, you know, you're just going, okay. You know, I'm not angry at anybody as much as I'm just letting you know this is where I was. This is where I am. This is what I've gone through. This is what I was told. And he starts reciting some of the other players in the organization and how they were treated. You know, he mentioned Charles Woodson, mentioned Clay Matthews, John Kuhn. You know, he did his homework here. He was prepared for that press conference. And I think the fact that he was not considering retirement as much as he was exploring what it is. He investigated retirement. And those are his words. He actually talked to some of his former teammates and I think some people outside of football. And he had this to say about possibly quitting.
Yeah, that's definitely something I thought about. You know, I talked about how important being a full-timer was for a long time. This was the first time to spend the off-season away without a COVID year or a lockout year. And I enjoyed it. You know, I really did. I took time working on myself. And however, there's still a big competitive hole in my body that I need to fill. And as I got back into my workouts, I just realized that I know I can still play and I want to still play. And as long as I feel like I can give 100% to the team, then I should still play.
And also, I think we thought that something was imminent on draft night when Adam Schefter reported that, you know, Rodgers wants out of Green Bay. Rodgers said it didn't start on draft night. It started back in February.
This wasn't, a draft day thing. This was started with a conversation in February. And I just expressed, you know, my desire to be more involved in conversations that directly affected my job.
And that's what's interesting. So, you know, you're talking about, is he going to stay there? Do they want him to stay there? Am I part of the long-term plan here? And he had asked for some kind of input. And Brian Gutekunst, the GM the previous day, acknowledged that they really didn't listen to him, but they're going to listen to him now. He also talked about, you know, not wanting to be that lame duck quarterback that you drafted my replacement, my eventual successor. You know, do you want me long term? And he had this to say about that.
As I felt like, if you can't commit to me past 2021, and I'm not a part of recruiting process and free agency, if I'm not a part of the future, then instead of letting me be a lame duck quarterback, if you want to make a change and move forward, then go ahead and do it. That obviously didn't happen.
Also, there are people, and I understand this, locally in Green Bay, in Wisconsin, they had a little bit of a problem with this comment from Rodgers talking about Green Bay.
I've tried to pass along information. Hasn't really been used, shall we say. So I wanted to offer up my services as a recruiter. And I think we can all understand, you know, Green Bay isn't a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me, to play with our team, and knowing that they can win a championship here. And the fact that I haven't been used in those discussions was one I wanted to change moving forward.
He's not dinging Green Bay, in my opinion. He's just stating fact. And he's saying, hey, because of this, I want to be even more involved in recruiting players here. When Reggie White joined the Packers, it was such a huge moment that you had a big-time free agent, Hall of Famer, African-American, who decided to go to Green Bay. It was big. It was huge. We're like, wait, he picked there? And I think Reggie said, God told me to pick Green Bay. And he helped them win a Super Bowl. But in the moment, you're thinking, man, Reggie White is going to Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers also talked about the media and how much was fact and how much was fiction. I thought that this was going to be brought up at the press conference, and Aaron did not disappoint.
The media loves to make stories when there's not enough content to put out there. You know, there were times I could have said something, but I firmly believe that there is wisdom in silence. Also, I love this city, this organization. I felt like handling things behind closed doors was the right way to do it. There were some leaks for sure. I can promise you I didn't have a part in any of those.
All right. Okay. I thought it was really well done. It was a candid conversation. And I think he touched on just about everything. I want to know a little bit more about, when were you told you were going to be traded? Did you have a say in who you're going to be traded to? Do you have a say in who you're going to be traded to now? Because I think Rodgers said, no, I don't have that understanding that I get to pick where I want to go if they decide to trade me. But I thought he answered a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions left to be answered. Feels like it's Super Bowl or bust for them. Devontae Adams' situation. If I'm Devontae Adams, I don't care about Aaron Rodgers' situation. I care about my situation. Devontae Adams, if you can get paid, get paid. I know that, you know, they had the last dance, that cryptic message that, hey, it's Jordan and Pippen. Well, it might be the last dance for Rodgers. It's not going to be the last dance for Devontae Adams. I don't think that they go, hey, you know what? We'll trade you guys together. How's that? That ain't happening. Devontae Adams, get your money. Don't risk getting injured. Get paid. And if Green Bay is going to make you the highest paid wide receiver, or that's what you want, hopefully you get that, because you've certainly earned that. All right, we'll come up with a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. We'll check in with the Packers coming up. Not everybody's sold on Randall Cobb being, wow, that's a great pickup. Pete Doherty covers the Packers. He'll join us coming up. I don't know if he's all in on Randall Cobb being. Raise your hand if you knew where Randall Cobb was playing last year. Exactly. I thought that he was still in Dallas and was like, wait. Oh, no, he's in Texas. Oh, he's Texans. Okay. Yes, McLovin.
I couldn't believe he's only 30. I thought he was like around with Favre back in the day. Doesn't he feel like they cycle through these receivers.
Yeah. But he's been in the league, I think, for 8 years. Yeah, Paulie.
Can you imagine Randall Cobb's joy to be get off Houston this year?
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's like, wait, what did Aaron say?
Pay me, don't pay me.
Yeah,
just give me back
care.
To Green Bay.
Yeah. But I thought it was well done. You know, it's not often that you hear these marquee athletes being totally honest with you. And he made a lot of sense here. It wasn't one of those where, hey, I'm mad. Like, I want people to understand my displeasure. I want to have a say. I want to have a seat at the table. And this is all based off of Tom Brady. Because Russell Wilson said the same thing. Here's Aaron Rodgers. There's going to be other quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson wanted to have a say in who was going to be his coach. I'm sure Patrick Mahomes went in and said, you have to get me linemen. Let me be part of the process here. Let me help out here. Ben Roethlisberger. Like, these guys are going to want to have a say as long as they can. And at what point do you go, all right, you've earned it? Do you have to win a Super Bowl and then you can have a say in personnel decisions? But I would want to know why Aaron Rodgers wants Randall Cobb or Jake Kumerow. Like, I would just want to know, you know, what kind of lineman do you want? Hey, we really like this lineman. Now, I don't know if I want him in there dealing with contract negotiations. I don't know if I want him in there talking about the draft. But if he can call a free agent, sure. Why wouldn't I? If he's willing to do it, how about you call a defensive back that you've gone against and then you say, hey, I know you're probably tired of me torching you. How about you come in and play for the Packers and I'll only torch you in practice? Yes, McLovin.
Isn't part of the problem is that front offices have to be cutthroat, like the Patriots? They have to cut people where Aaron Rodgers isn't going to want to cut his buddies. So how much input can you really give a player?
I know it is dangerous. Yes, Eden.
But I don't know necessarily that they're looking for input from Aaron Rodgers on people's like contract. Like, who are you going to cut? What makes sense for the cap and all of that? Like, that's what their job is. But they should go to him and be like, do you like this wide receiver? We were thinking about him. He'd say, no, I don't. He runs his routes sloppy or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He might have insight into these individual players as a player that they should find valuable.
Oh, I would. And if you said offensive lineman, I mean, it could be a defensive player. I mean, if I'm going to tap into Aaron Rodgers, he knows these defensive players. Like, you know who always gives me trouble? I mean, this guy. Or, you know, it'd be great to get this guy. Here's why. I just think over the course of 15, 16 years, you know, that's a pretty good Rolodex on players that you can help out. And if it's somebody who maybe we don't see their brilliance, maybe you don't see how great they are, maybe he can tell you, he can warn you about somebody. Maybe he can tell you, I'll make him better. Those are things that I've said that many, many times about Russell Wilson. I don't know if an organization put as much pressure on a quarterback as Seattle did with Russ because they built up the defense. They didn't have great marquee offensive players. Marshawn Lynch was a very good running back. But since then, they've gone through a few. DK Metcalf was sort of a maybe. Tyler Lockett, not quite sure. Is he a return guy? Like, and then they would go to Russ. Hey, we're down by 7. Can you help us win the game? And he wants a seat at the table. That's why he said what he said when he came on our show right after the Super Bowl, because he was frustrated. And I think you're going to have more and more quarterbacks who are going to probably say, hey, I want the same thing. Yeah, Paulie.
You know, Rodgers asked for stuff. You know how people overcompensate sometimes? What if management starts to ask him about everything? Like, hey, Aaron, we got a concessions, wants a new cheese curd vendor. The cheese curd guys are not doing it. You got any contacts in the cheese curd community? We're going with a new one. You want in on the meeting? Meeting 10 a.m.
Hey, I got a friend who wants to sell beer at the stadium. You know, can he get a job? I don't know. He's going to have to apply like everybody else.
Aaron, check out this stack of resumes. What? I want to play some football.
Yeah. Hey, parking lot attendant, what do you think, Aaron? All right, bring him in. Let me talk to him.
Yeah, a little bit of a snafu out there in security. Just curious, are you okay with the punch card system?
Yeah. Steve, before we officially hire you, we're going to bring you into this room for the final interview.
Yeah, come on in.
It's Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers there.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Pete Doherty is covering the Packers, columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette, USA Today as well. Pete, where do you want to start on this situation with Aaron? How about we pick up where I was, I left off there with Aaron talking about former players and how they were treated. What's the message he's sending there?
Yeah, you know, I'm on board with your take there. You know, I totally get why these quarterbacks want to say in personnel. Rodgers is really smart. He's played in the league forever. He's one of the best players in the league. So I understand why he would want to say and, you know, who his receivers are and all that. But like you said, you get attached to guys. And football, you have to be ruthless about personnel. I mean, going back to even Lombardi, he was ruthless with guys until the very end. That last team he had was pretty old. But he basically, through most of the 60s, he'd tell guys, time for you to retire, you know, really good, great players, Hall of Fame players. So you get attached to guys and you keep them too long. And in the NFL, guys go from being pretty good to not very good. It happens fast. And you've got to be proactive about churning your roster and moving on from those guys, regardless of what they did for you, no matter how much you love them and how good they were. And so that's the danger of giving a quarterback a lot of say in personnel decisions. That's why you even have a GM and a coach, because the coach gets attached to guys and the GM has a little more distance there.
Are you, did yesterday's press conference make you lean one way or another about Rodgers playing, you know, longer than this upcoming season?
With the Packers, you mean?
Yeah.
Didn't really change my thinking, but it kind of reinforced as of right now. I mean, it just looks really unlikely that he'll be their quarterback in 2022. But I will say, you know, the NFL is a little bit like a season's a little bit like dog years, right? I mean, 6.5 months, who knows what could happen? Maybe they do things and could lean on him more in personnel than they have up to this point in decisions, at least listen to him more. And maybe they win a Super Bowl, and maybe he would see winning a Super Bowl as the perfect way to leave, or maybe he'd see that they have a really good team and would think they could win 2 or 3 more. So the landscape could change dramatically in 6.5 months. But right now, if you had to bet, you'd have to bet that this will be his last season with the team.
If you're management, do you let the comments just kind of settle and you move on from this? Does management come back and offer up a rebuttal to anything that Rodgers said yesterday?
I don't think I would. you know, if you want to be real subtle about it, I just would do nothing to inflame the situation. You know, he deserved to have his say. I wonder if he felt it was kind of cathartic for him to finally publicly, you know, air what his grievances were instead of having it all, you know, be mysterious. But no, I think I would just let it lie. Because if you're the team, the most important thing is the guy showed up. He showed up on time. He's got a lot to play for. I think he does like the coach and the staff and his teammates. And they, you know, I mean, you look at their personnel and what they did last year, and with him at quarterback, I mean, you got to think that their chances, objectively looking at it, their chances are about as good as anybody's, aren't they?
What would inflame the situation from management's side of this?
Oh, if you disputed any of the factual things he said or his characterizations about not being listened to. The one thing that they might want to defend themselves about is because they do treat players really, really well here. You know, they're treated like kings over there, and in this town they really are. So I don't think that's the issue. I think he was talking more about when they depart, and it just the cold side of it when guys are cut or not even offered contracts and they've been really good players like Clay Matthews. You know, and that's harsh, but that's the harsh, that's the NFL. That's the harsh business. I think it's that way with pretty much most teams, maybe all teams, and maybe they could be a little better about it, but they were even harsher with Ted Thompson. Now they at least make Gutekunst available when they move on from a really good player. Ted Thompson used to just send out a one sentence release saying we've cut, you know, Jordy Nelson or whoever.
What kind of dog you got there? I heard the dog there.
Yeah, that's Winston. He's like a two of them. There's a Cocker Spaniel. There's always a danger of doing these. A barking fit could break out at any moment.
Wait. You didn't name one Mikowski or Amon Green or...
No, I like to go with I've had like Walter and Edward. I kind of go with kingly kind of names. This is that's Winston. I got Connor too. He's a rescue, but no, we stay away from the Packers for the names.
Did people react in a way with the local jab? You know, Green Bay's not exactly a vacation spot. The locals take that personally about. I mean, Aaron is saying something that's factual. You're trying to get free agents there. And no, it's probably not the hotbed of where you want to be if you're young, single. Did people take offense to that?
I saw, you know, one or two tweets, and they actually, I think two, and they both kind of looked, they were more tongue-in-cheek. So I don't have much else to go on.
Okay.
I'm guessing, you know, it might have bothered some people, but I think people are realistic enough to know that, you know, this isn't Miami.
Do we know what the Packers think of Jordan Love?
Not really. I think even off the record, when I talk to people, I don't get the sense that they're really, I wouldn't believe them no matter what they said, unless they said they didn't like him. And, you know, you just, and it's hard to tell. And he didn't get all that many snaps in practice last year. You know, he was splitting the number two snaps in camp, and camp was so short. So no, I think, and they're giving him a lot of work. He got a lot of work in the offseason, and I'm assuming he'll play, you know, 90% of the snaps in the preseason games. I'll be surprised if Rodgers even suits up for any of those.
Pete, great to talk to you. And, you know, you got your gift yesterday with Rodgers. I mean, this is going to be a fun season to cover.
It will. It'll be interesting, and it'll be hovering over him all year. But, you know, they've got a good team, and so their hopes are still high here.
Thank you, Pete.
Thanks, Dan.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk live co-host on Peacock, former NFL quarterback and football night in America. All right, what came out yesterday after Aaron Rodgers' press conference where you were with Paul Allen of KFAN saying the same thing, that Aaron Rodgers was told that he was going to be traded in the offseason?
I had always heard, really going back to like when this all became news, that from other teams in the NFL, that there was the sense out there that Rodgers and his camp were told they could start to dabble in the conversations of trading, and that they told him that, yeah, that they might appease him that way. So, yeah, that's where I got that. I don't know. I guess it's more news that it just came out here yesterday or whatever else, but it's something I know Florio had heard behind the scenes. And then as we had this time off, and I, you know, usually in this time off, I try to catch up with coaches and people I know around football. Of course, the Aaron Rodgers conversation came up with a lot of different people, like, man, do you believe this? Can you believe how the Packers handle this? All those type of things. And yeah, I think that's the one thing that's not out there kind of in the public, is everything I've been led to believe from people around the NFL is he was kind of led to believe he could find a trade partner this offseason. Now, why didn't he say it yesterday? I don't know. I thought he would say it yesterday, but knowing Aaron Rodgers too, Dan, I would sit there and go, he is the kind of guy that doesn't want to make it look like he wanted out of there. Yeah. And he wanted to leave Green Bay and look like that to the fan base too. So, again, I know this from pretty good sources that this was a real thing.
And I wonder if you gave the Packers a mulligan right now. You can trade him in the offseason. You can change all of this. It would they still have signed up for this knowing they were going to get him at least 1 year? Or they could have traded him prior to the draft, had more people interested, gotten a whole lot more for Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Right. I think they probably could have maximized more, to your point. But I think the other like big factor in this, that, and this is somewhat, this is where another thing I was told behind the scenes from another NFL, you know, person I trust and I'm friends with here. And the fact that, you know, the Jordan Love aspect came into play with that conversation as well, Dan. You know, they know he's not ready. Like we talked about back in the spring, the fact that he never dressed for a game last year, I mean, you might as well get a mega horn and yell it out. Like, man, he's not ready. He's raw. He needs work. So I think that ultimately, too, has led to this, like, wait, let's think about this again. Are we going to throw Jordan Love out there and then make it really look like a disaster if he didn't play well? And, whoa, we got rid of Rodgers, and here he is, you know, messing up our Super Bowl NFC championship type of football team. I would have to think that was a big part of their thinking as well.
Could you get a first round pick for Jordan Love right now?
No, no, I don't. No way. Not right now. Okay. You know, the fact that he hasn't played, I think the league was very iffy about him to begin with. You know, there was some teams that I think loved his high end talent. You know, I know that during that process, and I kind of jumped on him a little early too, because I kind of fell in love with his highlight tape and some of the positive things he could do. But as I dug deeper, you know, there were issues, and I had too many conversations with too many different teams who were like, man, yeah, I see some of that arm talent and those type of things, but he is raw, not the best decision maker. There was a lot of work to be done. I don't think many teams really viewed him as a first round pick, other than maybe two or three that I know of in the NFL.
I still go back to the Rams situation. And, I, you know, I can't nail it down and say that it's a report. But, I mean, that was right there for him. Before they went and got Stafford, if you would have said to Sean McVay, we can get Rodgers. Or you can get Sean McVay. Or you can get Matthew Stafford.
Whoa, well, you're going to take Rodgers. Yeah. I mean, you're going to take Rodgers. But you also, I'll give you a little caveat, you know, that you might not get him as long as Stafford. You know, that's the one other thing we got to remember, too. It seems like Stafford's been playing since 1974, but he's only 32 years old. You know, that's what's amazing about him. He's got a long way in front of him. But, yes, I think they do take Rodgers. If that's like a yes, you can have either one, I would think McVay does it. But I think it goes back to the conversation we just had a little bit, Dan. I don't think Green Bay was really ready at that time to get into trade talks and really go all in on it and do those type of things. So McVay had to do what was best, like, available right now, a sure thing, and that was Stafford. Of course, he had the relationship with Brad Holmes up there, who had just left the Rams to become the new GM of the Detroit Lions.
And he wanted to get rid of Jared Goff as well in the process.
Exactly. That was a big thing. No doubt, Dan. You can't forget that.
Are you all in on the Rams? I don't know if I've got you on record.
I don't know. I mean, I'm all in on the Rams. I mean, yeah.
No,
I
expect, you're not all in on the Rams. You pause.
I haven't, like, figured out who I'm going to pick to win divisions and do all of that. Yes. Listen, I love the Rams football team. Of course, I think that offense is going to be better with Matthew Stafford and all the things that he can do, let alone now McVay can expand what he wants to call because of the things Stafford can do. I am in it. But here's my one issue why I'm, like, hesitant. You know, they're an all-star team. It's 22 players. There's not a lot of depth on their team. So I always worry about that with the Rams. They've dodged that bullet the last few years, but they're a little like the Falcons, except they've dodged that bullet where you go, man, the starting 22 is good, but if they lose three or four players, they're screwed and they won't be the same football team. And that's what I do worry about them. And especially, I mean, as you know, the NFC West, I mean, come on, it's sick how good that division is right now.
Should quarterbacks have a say?
Yeah, to a degree, to a degree. Not that they call the shots, but I think when you're Rodgers, Brady, okay, I'll even throw Mahomes in that category now, but you know what I'm talking about. Peyton Manning, a few years into his career. Not that you have to listen and go, oh, that's what you want to do, but you have a conversation with them. I mean, geez, Dan, I went to one freaking playoff game in the next offseason when Gruden wanted to do things. He would at least talk to me about it a little bit. He wasn't going to listen to me, but he was going to hear my reasoning.
That's
every now
when his
and then
coaching went, career started to go down, though. I
way
think.
Downhill right there. You know, you listen to a dumb blonde from Jersey, you got issues. But no, I think, and I think that's the point Rodgers is trying to make a little bit. Like, you know, this is where I go crazy about the Rodgers stuff. all these comments on social media and everything that he's a diva and a diva and a diva. And I understand it. I understand he's not perfect and he's not the easiest guy in the world. But damn, I look at him as the opposite of a diva. I mean, they've never done anything. Drafting, free agency to help him. He signs team-friendly deals, six-year contracts. It's the opposite of a diva.
Well, they do a good job in drafting talent here, Chris. You can't say they – I mean, Jordy Nelson or Devontae Adams – Aaron Jones, the offensive line, Rashawn Gary is like they've drafted
yeah,
well.
Rashawn Gary, what, Dan? He doesn't play. He's behind Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. You know, that's where I don't.
Those are good players.
I know they are. And you're, listen, you're right. I'm not trying to like yell at you. Okay. I'm just going, there needs to be more to it than that. They do. They have a great formula. That's great. I understand that. But at the same time, like, as I think I've said to you before, I think Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. I think Brett Favre is one of the top five or six I've ever seen. They've won two Super Bowls with the two of the five best quarterbacks in the history of the sport. To me, hey, the formula is great, but every now and then you got to go, wait, let me look at the context of this situation, the reality of the situation, and make a move or change. I mean, you know, again, I'm not trying to hate on anybody here. But Brady had a coach that got Darrelle Revis and did all the draft picks you talked about and then also got Randy Moss and made other trades and everything else in the world to help that football team. And we really can't say that's ever been done in Green Bay with Rodgers or anything like that.
Yeah, but they're smart enough to draft Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, okay. He fell into their lap at 25 that year.
Okay.
All right? I mean, yes, that's great. I'm not saying they're idiots up there. I'm just saying – It's worth questioning the fact that they've won two Super Bowls with two of the five greatest quarterbacks ever. And yes, I think when you look at what the Chiefs did this offseason, they have Patrick Mahomes and they got one of the best right tackles in football, the best guard in football. They traded for a corner who's a first round pick who's been dealing with injuries and Mike Hughes. The Green Bay doesn't do that stuff. We send out planes in the air with like, they signed a free agent, yeah. One of them.
Yeah.
Holy cow. And that's where I think
I'm critical of the Packers that if I can use Aaron Rodgers to lure free agents, why wouldn't I do that? I don't want
exactly.
Him, yeah, I don't want him in my war room when we're drafting, but I do.
Right.
I want him to reach out to an offensive lineman or a wide receiver, even a defensive
Dan,
player.
I agree. And I think that's, again, I know of at least two instances. One, a big-time receiver who was in Rodgers' ear, because this receiver used to tell me he wanted to go there. That happened here in the last few years. The team didn't want to hear it from Rodgers. You know? Yeah, they don't. I think there's a lot of teams, and I think that's where Rodgers
gets
frustrated.
You can give us the name now.
I can't. The guy's still playing and he's still good and I don't want to cause any issues here and him beat me up or something. But that's where, you know, I think he's frustrated because I think he does have people reach out to him to go, man, I'd like to come up there and do something with you and play up in Green Bay. And Green Bay always just goes, well, we only draft guys and they stick to their formula. And I get it, but I don't get it.
DeAndre Hopkins?
I'm not telling you.
Okay.
Right. You don't know my poker face either, so you won't know if I'm lying or not.
Pro Football Talk Live co-host Chris Sims joining us. The camp that is most interesting right now, aside from Green Bay, is?
Ooh, wow. Good question. All right. Well, first off, I'm pissed at the Jets. Like, what the hell are you doing? That's what I'm just interested because of the stupidity of the Jets right now. That's where I'd like to go with that. I mean, here we are. We drafted all this young talent. We got a superstar quarterback. All they could do was rave about him to anybody who would listen all spring. Now he's lasers everywhere. This guy's awesome. And now they're going to screw up all the development because of money that means nothing. And I can't blame Joe Douglas or Robert Saleh. It's got to be an ownership thing.
But isn't this slotted, Chris? Like, don't they know
exactly
what they have to pay him? Like, what is the holdup here?
The holdup is obviously the Jets are trying to do something ownership to me. This is not like Joe Douglas because it's not a salary cap issue or anything like that. It has to do something, I think, with, yeah, one of the higher ups above them going, wait, we don't want to write that check right now or give all that cash. I don't know if there's cash flow problems with the Jets or what it is, but you're right. The last few years, the first and second picks, it's slotted. You know what you get. They all get their money in the first 2 or 3 months, and that's it. But, of course, the Jets are doing Jets things. That's interesting. But, Dan, the other one, the 49ers. I mean, how could I not? 49ers are a Super Bowl team.
Well, you finally got, you know, they signed their, you know, they signed Trey. So,
right.
Is he going to eventually start this year?
I would think that there's got to be at least a package of plays for him. I don't know if I'm going to say he's going to start. I got to see him play in the preseason and see, you know, if he's become more of a polished passer, if he can, handle the NFL game and all that there is that comes with that. So, you know, I don't know, but it's intriguing either way because they're a super talented football team with a quarterback that was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago and a guy that they traded away 3 first-round picks to get now, and they're having a quarterback battle. So I think that's probably the story of training camp.
If Garoppolo had won that Super Bowl, would they have drafted a quarterback?
Probably not. I think it buys them at least another year, maybe two at least. Like
he's two first downs away from beating Mahomes.
You know, two first downs away from Mahomes, but a full second half of bad decisions, bad throws, plays that were there to be had when they had to kick a field goal. There should have been a wide open completion on third down to George Kittle over the middle, and that drive should have continued. I think it's that type of stuff that has continually frustrated the 49ers and things like that. But I'm with you. I think if they win that game, you buy yourself 2, maybe 3 years if you're a Super Bowl champ.
I feel like we were yelling at each other today.
I know. You know, I'm yelling, I think, anyways, because I have ear pods in and I'm usually at my studio with the mic and all that. So I'm sorry. I don't mean to yell at you. My fault.
You look like you're on a spaceship with Jeff Bezos or something. Whatever that is that Earth behind you?
That's Sunday Night Football Earth. I mean, you know, you've seen that set back there. Remember when you used to be Bobby Big Time and host Football Night?
Bobby
America?
Big Time. That in fact, that's what my nickname was in the building. Bobby Big Time.
Yeah, I know.
Hey,
you're kind of a big deal.
Here comes Bobby Big Time. I think I left some weed in my locker there, so feel free if you want that.
Oh, I already smoked it. Don't worry. I found it. I got a nose for those type of things. Don't you worry.
hey, and your Longhorns. Yeah. Can't beat them, join them.
I'm happy. I mean, come on. Has there been like, I'm disappointed with the Texas program. I think it's one of the most disappointing programs in college football the last 10 years. Get out of the Big 12. It's a flag football conference. Yeah, let's see if we can go, you know, play with the big boys in the SEC because that's where it's at for sure. I hope they make the move. I really do.
How did Texas close you?
How did Texas close me? Well, I mean, listen, Mac Brown, I don't know how much you've met him, right?
I love Mac Brown.
Mac's amazing. I mean, he's amazing. You know, I used to say he could sell a Pinto to Donald Trump. Like, he could do that. Like, he is the smoothest talker ever. But either way, the school was amazing. I love the rise of the program, right? Ricky Williams won the Heisman right before the year I went there. I was like, man, this will be cool to be a part of the uprising of Texas football again.
But the car, was it automatic or stick that you got?
They don't give cars to rich kids who grew up as sons of quarterbacks. They don't do that. Right?
They loan them. They don't give them, Chris.
They don't. I didn't get anything down there other than, as I've discussed with you before,
What would Tennessee have given you?
Nothing. I'm too high profile to get anything. So I know one day I'll write a book and tell you some of the stories and everything that like went on during those, the other things I witnessed with other people, with other players,
of course,
on certain visits.
Can you give me with no names?
Gosh, I just was on a visit once with big time defensive tackle, right? Big time defensive tackle. And this school is rolling out the red carpet. And, man, anything he looked at, he wanted. I want that. I want this. I want that. I want that. I want this. I want that. And, of course, someone whispered in his ear, you know, don't worry, we'll get it to you here sometime in the near future. So that's one that my Aunt Wendy and my mom still get a kick out of.
But you,
I know, I'm sorry. I can't tell you. I'm sorry. I don't want to get the school in trouble, the player in trouble. I'm sorry. The player probably wouldn't care. He really wouldn't, but I don't want to get the school in trouble. That's where I'd feel guilty.
I think we have it.
Well, we had the list of the schools you officially visited, but we will not give them out.
Oh, yeah. It's all right. I visited a lot of schools unofficially, too, so you wouldn't be able to pin it down to that. Sorry.
No, of course not. Yeah. No.
Nah, you know.
Do you want to tell me
that? When your dad has frequent flyer miles and money, you can visit other schools. It's easier.
Do you want to tell me the wide receiver now instead?
Nope. Okay. Man, yeah, I know. You're trying to really get me today, get me in big trouble. No, I can't tell you.
Adam Thielen.
Nope. Sorry.
Jarvis Landry.
Bigger than Adam Thielen and everything like that. That's what I'll say to you on that point.
Okay. Good to talk to you, Chris, as always.
You the man. I'll
Larry
talk to you
Larry soon. Fitzgerald.
See you. Goodbye.
All right. That's Chris.